Thanks so much, Jed. Thank you all for being here. Welcome, History Club. So I wanted to start my talk today by sharing this image. So here we have this poster from mid-1970s. And in it, you see right away this image of the Statue of Liberty. But you know, rather than standing at Ellis Island with a torch, she's pictured there holding a broom in one hand and a fistful of dollars in the other hand. And at her feet, you see three children grasping at her robes. And she's standing with one foot on top of a pile of dirty dishes. So I always thought this was kind of a cool image. I came across it in the Library of Congress catalog many years ago, and I ordered a print of it, and I've had it up on my wall for many years, just kind of as a kind of nifty artifact of second wave feminism. I always just thought it was a really cool piece of artwork and a really cheeky slogan at the bottom, wages for housework. What a cool idea. But I didn't really think much about that in any more deeper historical sense. I kind of had it as this piece of art. And I didn't think about it much. But that really changed when I became a mother for the first time some years back. And suddenly the question about housework took on a whole new set of meanings. Like many parents, I found myself working suddenly around the clock at the job that I had long done for my profession and had enjoyed compensation for. But now I had another set of tasks that took up the rest of my time caring for an infant. And yet this new job that I was doing was largely invisible to society, totally uncompensated and unrecognized. So I grew up in the 1990s. I grew up with feminism, but the kind of feminism I grew up with in mainstream 1990s America really didn't talk about housework. We talked about equality, we talked about career success and expression, but this question about housework, I think that we thought about it as this kind of relic of older generations, not something that would have affected me. But suddenly faced with this mountain of unpaid work, what the sociologist Arlie Hochschild calls the second shift, I started to think about, why it is that we live this way. And like many new parents, I got lots of, kinds of well-intentioned advice, life hacks about how to be more efficient, how to be more productive, how to balance, work and life. But I found myself really wanting something more ambitious. I wanted to know why we collectively decide to live this way. With all of this work that's so essential for how society functions being invisible and unpaid. And more importantly, I wanted to think about how we might collectively live differently. So being an historian, what I did next was to try to think about how older generations of feminists thought about this question of housework. So I found myself looking, to the archives of feminism, and one of the first places I ended up looking to was the wages for housework movement of the very poster that I had hanging in my house. And so, at that time, one of the founders of Wages for Housework, a feminist named Sylvia Federici, who had founded the New York Wages for Housework Committee, was depositing her archives at Brown University. So I took a trip to her archives just to kind of look into this. And what I soon found was that this movement was a very serious movement, and it was a global movement. I saw the connections, the branches of this campaign that stretched across the US, in New York and Philadelphia, into Canada, in the UK, across Italy and the Caribbean. And that really got me thinking about this as a global movement that I wanted to look into in more detail.